5 minutes after the starting time we start. We, just by way of introduction, good morning to everybody and welcome. We have broken up today's proceedings into about 30 minute slots. We'll kick off with the Eastern Cape, followed by the Western Cape, Free State and Northern Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal and Mpopo, and then, if necessary, we'll have a general discussion afterwards. My own suggestion is that as opposed to going through your entire presentation, thank you very much for giving us a detailed presentation, we'd much rather focus on the challenges and constraints that you are experiencing in your various regions. And I'm sure when members start engaging, they will then ask questions that might touch on the rest of your presentation. But in your 15 minutes, if you can focus just on highlight to us the challenges and the problems that you're experiencing in your various areas. We think that because this department, as we all will agree, has many challenges, and our intention is to assist in bridging those challenges. We, from experience and from the Auditor General's report, know that you've got, and you need to touch on these things as you go along. The progress that you're making at the local areas around internal control, the Auditor General has consistently spoken about internal controls in the department. We'd want to know what's happening at your area around internal control, around compliance or non-compliance issues, if there are any. Auditor General has also consistently raised the issue around asset management. For us, what is also important is to indicate to us the state of affairs around escape and around debt in your facilities. That's part of your core business, and we've got to understand what is happening there, pending cases, and proactive measures in terms of reducing or eradicating, as far as it's humanly possible, escapes and deaths in prison. And then in our interaction with the National Department last week, amongst the many issues that came out, we want to understand your outsourcing philosophy. What type of outsourcing are you doing? So that we can get a sense of the commission in terms of the outsourcing part of your business. And obviously questions are going to be, why outsource if you've got people? So when you deal with the outsourcing, you need to give us some sort of explanation. But members will ask pointed questions around those matters, I am sure. So that is roughly how we're going to do it. But you've got 15 minutes to do your presentation. We'll then open it up for discussions and final conclusions in terms of each region before we move on. Maybe we should start by asking you to introduce yourself so that we know who we're talking to. We'll then ask members to introduce themselves so that you know who you're talking to, and then we'll get on with the business, starting with the Eastern Cape. If we could start from this side, if you could introduce yourself, please.
Hablamos a veces a la mente de los hijos de
Jean Sean, the Acting National Commission. Commission, and Mr. Carvalho did say the original commissioner actually said not in case.
Good morning. I am Nancy Keller of Jordan Ghana, the original commissioner of Eastern Cape.
Good morning. This is Nidia Langmeyer, acting regional commissioner for the matter.
Good morning. I'm Advocate Ngovi, the regional commissioner of Gauteng.
Good morning.
Good morning, I'm James Smallberger, Regional Commissioner of Western Cape.
Good morning, Deputy Secretary, Chief of Staff, Minister.
Members of the party.
Good morning, I'm Member Vivian Bonello Palace.
Molweni igama lam nginomakhaya Mdaka engqobo e-Eastern Cape imemba yale komiti kunge-ANC.
Morning everybody, my name is Florence Nyanda from Mpumalanga, member of this committee.
Good morning, I'm Alvin Fritz from the Western Cape. Thank you.
And also from Gauteng.
Winnie Nguyen from Gauteng ANC.
Morning, I'm Thomas Awasi, the researcher for the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, I'm Connie Blaine, member of the Portfolio Committee, Congress of the People, Western Cape. Thank you.
Morning. I'm Mudise Kabeki, with the Communication Services in Parliament.
Thank you very much. Now that we've done with the formalities, just a question. Can we have an indication of who is acting and who's present? I heard at least one or two acting. Who are the acting commissioners? KZN. How long have you been acting to?
From the 1st of November 2008. Yes, sir.
Limpopo, September 2008. Who's the acting? You've got another acting. To the acting national commission that indicates your acting. What is being done about acting post from 2008.
Yes, thank you. The situation in both of those two posts is slightly different. The KZN post became vacant when the then regional commissioner left the department. That post has been advertised and there's going to be a process taking place within this month to fill that post. Obviously, it's a process to go through cabinet, we'll go that route. In LMN, it's a process in which the regional commissioner LMN is on suspension, so that is pending the conclusion of that disciplinary process.
Ms. Lane, September 2008 has been put on suspension. We, a year later, 2009, is there any indication as to when this is going to be finalized? We must agree that regardless of the circumstances, we can't have government running on acting because somebody is suspended for a long time. What is the position? When do we expect finality on that matter? Especially because this post covers Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and North West. So in essence, it's three provinces. Could we have an indication as to why the year-long suspension? When do you expect to have the finalized so that we can also take a decision as Parliament. I am looking at parliamentarians. I'm sure they will agree with me that regardless of the circumstances, a whole year for somebody acting, and I would assume on full pay. Can we get an indication what to set up?
Chairperson, in relation to the suspension, there is a current disciplinary process taking place as we speak. That we can certainly indicate that there are timelines for finalisation of that in September. On the basis of that, there will be a process that obviously will take its own course. So there will certainly be some finality during the course of September. But there may well be some reports that we are still waiting from the FIU. There may well be other issues that come forward from that.
All right, so without harboring on it, I again want to speak on behalf of the committee and indicate that there needs to be an acceleration of this process. We're 6 months away from the end of this financial year. And we would expect, all of us, I think, that certainly in the new financial year we have this matter finalized. There's just no reason why we would go through 2 years of somebody on suspension and have acting positions across three provinces. So we certainly will raise it, and the ministry is represented here. We're hoping that you also, as representatives of the ministry, convey what we think. That there's no way that we can have an acting position for 2 years. And we certainly will not take kindly to somebody acting in the new year, the new financial year. So if you could, at ministerial level and also at the department level, resolve that issue for us. Could we then kick off with the Eastern Cape? I'm aware that you were all planning to do your presentation. Oh, is it up and running now? Are we ready to do them? Otherwise, we've all received hard copies of the presentations. Let me suggest that we use the hard copies of the presentations. All members have got hard copies of the presentations until we're up and running. So if you indicate you are, which page you're on, Commissioner of the Eastern Cape, we'll be able to follow you until we have our overheads up and running. Do you want to say something in fact?
Chairperson, I just want to make one comment ahead of time so that we are quite clear about it. Just for the information of the Portfolio Committee, in the presentation that we had done last week at the National Office, we had used performance information until the 30th of June for the first quarter. The information that is being presented today is as current as it could possibly be. So I just wanted people to understand that, so that we don't land up where people think that there are data gaps in that sense. And that would cut across all of the presentations. As the Regional Commissioners present, they will be able to indicate the currency of the information that they're presenting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The presentation will cover briefly the organogram, the branches that are in the region, and it will also talk to partnerships and involvement with stakeholders. The organogram, as I have said, I'm the regional commissioner with a deputy regional commissioner with 4 regional heads and 6 area commissioners. We have 6 management areas which are managed by area commissioners. I'm on slide 6. And the number of centers per management area are indicated on slide 6 with a number of community corrections offices. Turning to issues of corporate services, slide number 8, we have 6,218 posts, of which 5,684 are filled and 534 are vacant. In terms of our equity profile, slide number 9 indicates the gaps that we have in terms of equity. In terms of litigations, and we tried to take information from January 2008 up to August. We had 129 motion applications that were reported, 50 of which were finalized, 30 were in our favor, and 20 were not in our favor. We had 141 civil claims reported, 70 of those were finalized, and 21 was in our favor, with 49 judgments not in our favor. Arbitration, 84 cases reported, 20 awards in our favor, 10 not in our favor, and the rest are pending. Briefly on the issues of OSD and the implementation of the 7-day establishment. Officials in the region were paid their one-off 7.5. We are in the process of auditing the payment to make sure that people who indeed received the payment were people that were deserving. And this will be finalized by the 4th of September. The migration has been finalized on paper, but the movements of people have not been finalized yet. From the 1st of July, we introduced the 2x12 shift system in the region, and 30 of our centers are implementing this. 14 are still using the various shift patterns, and this is mainly due to issues of staff shortage in those centers. Slide number 12, disciplinary hearings. We had 131 cases that were registered, of which we finalized 51 and 80 are still pending. Suspensions, we had 6 that were registered, 1 finalized, 5 are pending, and the ones that are pending is because the 4 are on appeal, and 1 was a precautionary suspension, which is 1 month. Coming to issues of findings, we have a budget allocation of 1.1 billion. Our expenditure to date is 554,583. Our commitments are 32,000. In terms of our percentage, without commitments, we are at 48.59, and with commitments, we are at 51.4, against the ideal 41.6%, meaning that we have a deviation of 9.6. The next slide breaks down the budget pay, budget program. And the next one speaks to the outsourced work. And this is the additional information that was required yesterday. In the Eastern Cape, we have outsourced catering to Bosasa, in St. Albans, Port Elizabeth, and Badensi, all in the St. Albans management area. And our expenditure to date on that contract is 12,241,000. The expiry date for this contract is 01/01/2012. The next slide, slide number 17, talks to capital asset expenditure. And we have listed areas where we have spent our capital budget, ranging from buying cars to hospital beds and other equipment that is needed for the running of the region. Transfers and subsidies. We have an amount of 64,000 that is allocated for the renewal of public driver's vehicle licenses, which is the money that is appearing under transfers, provincial and local government in our budget. And this amount is the money that is used for testing of drivers who are responsible for driving our state vehicles for various purposes. What is not in the slide, Chairperson, is the other smaller contracts that we have in the region for the provision of milk, bread, and other things. And if I may just mention, of those contracts, 97% goes to the previously disadvantaged, and 3% goes to the bigger companies, and Star Bakery being one of them, because of the smaller companies not being able to render some of those services. Coming to corrections, our offender population in the region, we've got 6,181 males awaiting trial, 87 females awaiting trial, sentenced male 13,495, sentenced female 265, awaiting trial children 1,323, sentenced children under 18 1,067, babies who are with their mothers in our facilities, we've got 10. Our total population is 20,000 against an approved accommodation of 12,974. The following slides are really covering the classification of correctional centers. And I will just summarize it, Chairperson, by saying 33 of our centers are medium facilities, 3 are youth centers, 2 are maximum facilities, 6 remand detention centers, and 1 female correctional center. In terms of overcrowding management, we have a functional regional overcrowding task team, which is assisting in the monitoring of overcrowding management. As of the 23rd of August, we are standing at 154% in terms of overcrowding, with the most populated centers being Tanzani, Grandstown, Kingstown, Middle Drift, Desert, and Intertermedium. We are trying to implement some sections of the Criminal Procedure Act in trying to divert some of these offenders. So we have good cooperation between ourselves and the NPA in trying to implement Section 63, 162F, and 63A, as they are explained in the presentation. The next slide covers the escapes. And here we took the period of April to June 2008 and compared it to the period of April to June 2009. In 2008, we had it's recorded as 5 escapes, but it was 3 incidents of escape involving 5 offenders who escaped. For the same reporting period during this year, we had no escape. In terms of the disciplinary cases that were finalized, officials were given sanctions of final written warning, others written warning, and others were found not to be guilty depending on the circumstances and their involvement or their alleged involvement in the escape. In terms of assaults, we are comparing the same period, April to June. In 2008, we had 25 assault official or offender, and for the same reporting period this year we've got 14. Offender on offender we had 19, for the same reporting period we've got 49. Offender on official we had 1, for the same reporting period we've got 3 this year. The death of inmates would be covered in slide number 27. The number of natural deaths are recorded per management area. We had 12 in Amatoli, 23, Islandan, 18, in Tata, 6, Sada, 55, and St. Albans. Those were natural deaths due to sickness. The unnatural ones, we had 1 in Islandan, where an offender committed suicide,
we cut his throat. In Mthatha, we had three in that management area. These offenders were assaulted by members. In St. Albans, we had two, and these were suicides where offenders hanged themselves. The following slides, Chairperson, are really figures on the caseload of parolees and professionals, and I would really not want to go into details, but the information is December 2008 up to July 2009. In terms of facilities, we've got the listed facilities that are under maintenance and where contractors are currently on site, and that is about 10 of our facilities in the region. Coming to issues of development and care, we've got four accredited sites which are providing the comprehensive management of HIV and AIDS. We will be accrediting one site in a management area this financial year and one in the sixth management area the next financial year. We are focusing on rendering counseling and testing for HIV to all TB patients. And we are training our professional nurses on the comprehensive management of HIV, TB, and STI. The next slide really focuses on figures of people that came forward for voluntary testing and people that were tested positive, and also the number of people that are on ARVs. The next slide also covers figures that are outlining the specific programs that are rendered to offenders. The next one covers issues of social work, spiritual care, and psychological services, and also it indicates the number of individual sessions and group sessions. The next slide talks to skills development, formal education, and sports, recreation, arts, and culture. And again, there we are just indicating figures of offenders that are involved in those programs. We have a production workshop and a broiler project at St. Albans, an abattoir and piggery at Amatoli, a milk and dairy farm at Kirkwood, a layer project at Mthatha, and Batenzi specializes in citrus farming. 20 correctional centers have established small visitation gardens. In terms of partnerships, we engage offenders to support social development initiatives, benefiting local schools, assisting municipalities, and also assisting with furniture for the needy schools, but also assisting with crime prevention campaigns in the communities and in the schools. We managed in the Eastern Cape to mobilize the support of the provincial and local government leadership in supporting our programs. We have engaged the provincial legislature and the executive council, as well as different forums of management in the region, identifying areas of partnership with various stakeholders. The recent example is the partnership that we have with the Premier in taking care of babies that are behind bars. We have signed memorandum of understanding with different partners and other government departments just to regulate some of the work that we do with them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Let's open it up to members. Let's allow each member in the first round at least two questions or three questions, and if there's need be, we'll carry on to another round, but the members can ask three questions, and you'll respond when we indicate that you should respond. I recognize Mr. Strauss, Ms. Nguyenia, Mr. Fitz, Mr. Madasa, and Ms. Mdaka at the back, and Ms. Nyanda, you will follow in that order. Thank you, Mr. Fitz. I beg your pardon, Mr. Dow.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. I wondered whether I could just ask two questions. The first relates to the fact that there is only one female centre in the entire province. big problem. And I think the Commissioner is aware that there's some problems around facilitation and reintegration and the problems that go with that. Can we have some sort of a briefing both on the reasons why there is now only one, and secondly, what steps are taken to facilitate family and related matters? The second is related to slide 38, which deals with production and agricultural workshops. And you would be aware that the committee is very keen that as many, or indeed every able-bodied inmate should work and be productive. Could we have an indication of those various production workshops and agricultural projects? How many inmates are actively involved, productively involved every day, every working day? Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Ngwenya?
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, on the OSDs, on slide number 11, the presentation states that a one off payment of 7,500 for SOP was paid to qualified officials. My question would be, which criteria is used to determine qualified officers? And on the offenders escape, on page 20 of the presentation, it is indicated that between April 2008 and June 2009, five offenders escaped from correctional centers. How many of these offenders are awaiting trial, and how many are sentenced? What is the criteria classification of these offenders? On page 21 of the presentation, it is reported that between April 2009, three deaths were recorded in prison. The presentation does not make a clear distinction of natural and unnatural deaths. How many of these deaths are natural? Lastly, Chairperson, according to the presentation on page 28, 1,635 offenders are HIV positive, and only 1,490 offenders stated voluntary, and of those 227 tested positive. Where do you get the figures of
1,685 if only 1,490 offenders tested?
I think
it's the best. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to just know the question around assault. I see your assault figures came down from 25 for the whole period from January to August to 14. If you just compare with last year's figures. Now, the one question I want to know, what mechanism did you use to bring it down? And isn't there a reporting problem? Assault not properly reported that? So this is a quite a phenomenal figure. And if you look at the figures in the inspecting judges of report, it's quite incontrovertible. The other question I would like to know, what happened to the members of Ntata who killed those three inmates? Those inmates were killed. I think, you know, we used the word is by assault. Were they criminally charged? And my last question, Mr. Chair, is around. I'm always intrigued when you talk about overcrowding and the use of 62F and 63A, that we never actually get figures. And I know it's quite relatively difficult because it's the court and applications of court. But it would be very helpful to just give us some idea of how successful that those operations or those mechanisms in the assessment.
For fear of information overload, man, maybe you should answer these three questions and we'll get to the next set of questions.
Thank you, Professor. The issue of the female center
and the centralization of female offenders in the Eastern Cape. Initially, we had female offenders incarcerated in Mthatha, Queenstown, Port Elizabeth, and East London. Those were four centers. But you would find a case where you've got 40 females in Mthatha, 39 in Queenstown, 50-something in PE, and so on, in a facility that could be taking 200 inmates. Because you can't mix male and female offenders in a facility. You then have to look at your overcrowding figures and how you can best optimally use the space that you have. But also, to also improve the services that you render to the female offenders, it's much better when they are centralized. And also looking at issues of babies. It's not easy to have a crèche facility, for example, for one baby in Queenstown, two elsewhere, and three somewhere else. But if it's 10 of them in East London, you can easily have an educare facility where you can better take care of this baby. So we negotiated with female offenders and their families about the centralization. Of course, in negotiating, not everybody would be 100% satisfied, but most of them understood the rationale behind the centralization. And we had an agreement with the chairperson that says, we will transport you to visit your families, not at home, but at the nearest center to your home. It gives us even better control in terms of managing their visits, because their visits are pre-booked, and we arrange transport and we take them to the area where they are supposed to be visited, and we take them back to East London. So it has really improved the manner in which we even manage and support them. The issue of workshops and whether they are optimally used, the answer is no, they are not optimally used. And unfortunately, I don't have figures with me now to say so many offenders are working in those workshops. But we have a challenge with artisans. We have a challenge with people that are trained to be able to train those offenders. So those are the challenges that we are sitting with. We try our best to headhunt, but sometimes we're not really successful. So yes, ideally, we could be doing better in terms of utilizing our workshops and making sure that most of our offenders are engaged in skills development. The issue of the criteria for paying the 7,500. Within our department, we had already started appointing other people according to the Public Service Act. People that are doing admin jobs, jobs that are not necessarily center-based, if I may put it that way. Those are the people that would not have benefited from the 7.5. The escape that were referred to on the slide were the escape of the sentenced offenders. And the death, I think I had indicated the three as people that were assaulted to a point of death. The figures of HIV positive offenders is a figure that you have of people that you tested within and people that were tested elsewhere and declared their status. So that is why your figure would not necessarily be the same. Not everybody is tested in a correctional center, somebody else comes in already positive and decides to disclose their status. Others decide not to disclose their status. So the figure itself might not be 100% accurate because of that. What happened to reduce the assault? We are trying to sensitize our officials against the assault of offenders. We are also trying to be as harsh as possible in dealing with cases that we know of, but one can honestly not rule out the possibility of underreporting as well, which is an issue that we always emphasize. What happened to the officials that killed an offender? Have killed offenders. A very unfortunate incident happened. The disciplinary case of those officials is still in process. And a week ago, officials that were main witnesses in those cases were traveling from their center in Bizana to Mthatha, where the sitting was supposed to be, and they were unfortunately killed in a car accident. Three very essential witnesses, key witnesses, they were killed in a car accident. We buried one on Sunday, two are going to be buried the coming weekend. But the case is still continuing, but meaning that you need to revisit now the issue of witnesses. The last question was about the success rate of these different sections that we're using. Again, Chairperson, unfortunately, I don't have the exact figures, but honestly, the success rate differs per management area, depending on the active involvement of a particular area commissioner in that process. But one can be able, at the later stage, Chairperson, to provide those figures per management area. I know for a fact that we are doing very well in the Amathole management area in terms of managing these different sections. But at the moment, I don't have the figures with me. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Madasa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Speaking on this question of security, we will have inquiries that have been initiated with regard to the other cases other than the one that can explain of witnesses who have been killed to determine the circumstances of the death of those people. And if we have managed to correct the situation of assault and so on, and prevention of these occurrences. The second question is, according to the AG's report on repairs and maintenance, the department is lagging far behind. Actually, in some instances, it's in a horrible state of affairs. There are reports of sewage leakages to rivers and so on. Scary stuff. I'd like to know in your area whether you are experiencing backlog and repairs and maintenance, and what measures are being taken in conjunction with the public works to address the situation. Because if you appreciate this, may also have a bearing on the security situation if repairs are not undertaken. Because inmates might actually use material that is dangerous owing to the state of disrepair and use it for assault. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is around the
the region's view on the installation of hidden CCTV cameras in each and every cell in the correctional center? And number two, Chairperson, my worry is about this number of the HIV positive offenders. So what are the measures in place to protect other offenders from those with communicable diseases?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is in page 11. From July 2009 to 12, SHIFT system introduced in the region. 30 to 44 centers are cutting it off. 14 centers are still using various SHIFT patterns due to the shortage of staff. But this site, in their slide, it's written that vacancies 534. Why? The short of staff, yes, we've got vacancies. I would understand if there were no vacancies, that we are short of staff. It's a concern. And my other question, what is the measure in place to protect other offenders from those communicable diseases? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the budget allocation, the summary on slide 14. It is said here less expenditure up to date, 554 million. Is this now from the 1st of April up to what date? The end of August? If it's the end of August, then it would mean that you are going to overrun, because your total budget allocation, as I see it here, is 1.141, call it 1.142 million. Chair, the other question is related to the expenditure and the budget, of course. Slide 16, where you have an expenditure to date to one supplier of 12.2 million, where the contracts are apparently up to 2012. If you could advise whether this is only for the supply of food, or is it anything else, and whether the service is being provided at a competitive rate, whether you're getting value for the money that you are spending. Finally, Chair, the slide on the production and agriculture workshop. In your particular region or area, what is your extent of self-sufficiency as far as the production of food is concerned? I note that you have here a couple of categories that you produce. Do you have any plans to grow these categories, to build on them, and to expand to other parts of the province? If so, if you could give us any details. I have taken note of the question asked by Mr. Self about able-bodied people getting involved. You have given your response to that, but whether anything is being done to get these people interested in the production of food. Thank you. Commissioner?
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say, being the first presenter is a huge advantage to my colleagues.
because most of the things that I am answering affect them as well. And one would really say to them, guys, I'll try my best to answer all of you as well. The issue of inquest on the offenders that were killed, yes, it is done, because once an offender is killed, you also open a case with the police, and this is part of what would then be done. But now, unfortunately, I don't have the results per individual. But those, it was clear that they were really beaten to death. There was no doubt about it. Some suffered internal bleeding and so on. So those are also the reports that are used in the disciplinary cases. Measures to prevent assault. As I was explaining earlier, what we try to do is to sensitize our members and also to be harsh in cases where people are found to be guilty. And we're hoping that that is what is contributing really to the reduction of the assaults. The issue of repairs and maintenance, yes, it is a challenge in my region, particularly in the former Transkei, where you find very, very old and dilapidated facilities. As I was saying in the presentation, 10 of those are currently under repair, because some of them, you could see and conclude that some of the offenders are really sitting there because they want to sit there. Otherwise, if they wanted to leave, when you look at the state of the facility, it would have been easy. We are trying to prioritize that, those according to the maintenance plan of the department. And again, unfortunately, we would also be in the mercy of public works for doing some of the work. But when it comes to minor repairs and day-to-day maintenance, we are able to look at those and address them. The issue of public works, I think, is an issue that we raise all the time, that the fact that departments are relying on public works for their facilities is really putting them in a very, very difficult position. Because if there's an incident, whether it's facility-related or what, it's the Department of Correctional Services that must be accountable, not any other department. So if there are any suggestions also in terms of how do we deal with public works as a department, one would really welcome that. The issue of the CCTV cameras in the cell is also another issue that human rights groups arguing very strongly against raising issues of invasion of privacy of people if you put a camera in a cell and so on. But one must say that we are looking at other measures that would strengthen our security and make sure that one does not have unauthorized items within our centers, because you would discover that for those escapes and for those assaults, it's items that are not supposed to be in a correctional center in the first place that are used. And they went through some gate and some door and all that. And if one could control adequately at those levels, maybe one might at the end of the day not really need to have a camera inside the cell. But again, I must say, Chairperson, it's really a debatable issue whether we should have this camera or not. What do we do to protect others from communicable diseases in general? find someone to have a communicable disease like TB, for example, MDR, that person would have to be isolated and not kept in a communal cell. Some of our facilities have got hospitals, some of our facilities have got cells that we can use for isolation when you don't have the hospital. But the one of HIV is a very tricky one. Because as I said, Chairperson, not everybody declares their status. You might have more than what you think you have. And it becomes a very difficult issue to also isolate people because they are HIV positive. One only hopes that it would then be the responsibility of each and every individual to protect themselves against contracting HIV. And in a case where people are coerced to do something that is against their will, there are also other processes that people follow to lodge a complaint, and those cases are dealt with. The issue of shortage of staff is a tricky one. We have a challenge currently as a department where there is a moratorium on filling of vacancies. A challenge which I think some of my colleagues may also add to it as well. As I said, it's an issue that applies to all of us. It's not particular to the Eastern Cape. But again, in implementing the 7-day establishment, one has to review the structure and the capacity of individual centers. The number of people that you need to move to this new shift is not necessarily the same as the number of people that you needed. So HR is in a process where they are trying to assist with the creation of posts in some of the areas where they are needed. It's not necessarily saying the shortage is in areas where there were vacancies. Not necessarily. A particular center could manage to go forward with this number. But if you say to them move to 12 by 2 shifts, they might need a little bit more warm bodies, which might mean that you might need to create some new positions to be able to assist them to be able to move. The question on overspending, yes, we are currently overspending because the percentage that we are at now is more than the ideal percentage where we are supposed to be. And it's mainly because of the issue of offender versions, an area where we feel that we have been underfunded as regions. But in trying to manage the overspending, currently there are belt tightening measures that have been introduced in the department where we have to look at different areas within our budget where we can be able to generate savings, not only to support the payment of OSDs, but also to support areas where we have pressures. So we are hoping that some of the over expenditure, we are hoping that we will be able to prevent, because we have introduced quite a few measures to cut on our costs. The Busasa contract in the Eastern Cape is for food, yes. A tender was advertised, and this process is dealt with at national level with representatives from the region. And yes, it was a competitive process because people applied and this is the company that won that specific contract. Self-sufficiency is a challenge. Yes, there can be capacity to expand in certain areas. I was raising in a head office meeting to say that if you look at an area like Kerfoot, which is mainly a farming area, if you were to refocus and direct your resources to that particular area and press that area to be able to provide food to the whole region, you can. There are things that you can do to drive towards that. It's not possible to have a garden in each and every center because of the size, because of the various reasons. The other areas have got drought, other areas you can literally not plant, other areas of the former Transkei you have challenges of water, just water to survive. Now water for the gardens becomes a completely different story. But I'm saying, Chairperson, we can look at the areas where we have capacity to produce and try and resource those areas adequately so that those areas can then in turn support the other areas, which is an issue we're raising also in assisting us with the belt tightening and also managing the budget of the offender measures. Because some of the food that we buy from outside suppliers, if we had enough capacity at certain areas, it could be produced internally. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. No, time is against us. You'll ask later if there is. Just two questions, ma'am. You know, I don't know if it goes to you or it goes to National. In terms of litigation, we had 150 finalized cases. We applied number 10. 79 of those are against the department or not in favor of the department. That's about 53%. Can you give us an indication of why it is so against the department and the rent value that it affects? You have that. Why does it go against the department? I'm asking the question because it is dereliction of duty by us or by you as a department. Then we need to look at why are the litigations more than 50% against the department? And what does it mean in grand terms, especially for a department that is fleeing poverty? Just respond to that one for us. And then, again, I suppose so that we don't go to this question again to everybody. National Commissioner, we've got a serious problem. You probably picked it up last week with the outsourcing of nutrition. And we're going to deal with it, I suppose, at a later stage. But what we'd want to understand is there a formula that you worked on? In other words, somebody asked about competitiveness. What was the rationale? Did we say 10 rand per head? What was the unit cost? Let's put it to you that way. What is the unit cost for feeding inmates? We've got 164,000 of them. Do we feed them 3 days? I know that in Joburg you don't feed them 3 times a day because the afternoon that I was there, they just had bread for the evening there. Probably had in the morning, they probably had lunchtime, and probably 4 slices in the evening. So it's about 2 meals. As I understand, they had 2 meals. They probably had breakfast that was a meal in the place. When I was there, their lunch was also, I think, puff and a piece of wort and veggies. So I'm grappling with how much does it cost the department per inmate per meal? Otherwise, how do you work out your tender to make it competitive as you explain it to someone. So those two questions can be answered for everybody. Then we know the litigation, and we know the rationale for giving these tenders. And we will then give our closing remarks in terms of this one. But if you can answer those two for us.
Just on the first one, I'm not sure that we can, I certainly don't have at my fingertips an analysis of the full national perspective, and we can do that. I'm not sure that it's necessarily exactly the same thing in each of the regions. But I would suggest that what we do is that we pull that information together for you and provide you with an analysis of the nature of the case. It may be that the regional commission could speak to the Eastern Cape. But I wouldn't like to generalize across each of the regions because I think there are different.
I think what we want is an idea. Give us an idea of one case where litigation went against the department. Why did it go against it? I think that's what we want to know. When the decision was taken that the department was at fault, what type of circumstances lead to that type of event? We just want to get a sense of what is the right litigation not in favor of the department. Across all over again, but we just want to get from you. Of the 79, give us one instance of why it went against it.
Chairperson, as the acting national commissioner says, it would vary, but there are examples where there is insufficient documentation that would support the department. You find those. You find cases where your witnesses decide to be unreliable. And you lose a case because of an unreliable witness. But yes, one can gather the full information for the portfolio committee and provide. And to be honest, at the moment, I don't know the random value, the rent value of those cases.
Okay. That question is going to be asked to everybody. So because you don't have it, we'll get you, Mr. Bell. Can you guys give us the exposure to the department, specifically in terms of litigations that went against the department? Can we get that exposure? Because if it's an astronomical amount, maybe we need to change the way we initiate these type of things. Is it on litigation, sir?
Well, it's a more general thing, and just in terms of the, I can understand that the Commissioner doesn't come on with all the facts, but in respect of those questions in which she wasn't able to give the information, can we be provided with that information in a written form?
We will revisit all of them. If members can take notes of those that you don't think were answered satisfactorily, we will put it to them to give it out in writing. Could you give us the formula for your nutrition, ma'am?
Chairperson, again, I don't have accurate figures at my fingertips, but what I've asked is the Regional Commissioner of Western Cape talks to that to give a ballpark sense of it. And then again, we can follow up with the actual detailed calculations of it.
All right. If you can give us that as well at some point, we want to know how to answer the question specifically. What is, how do we know that it's competitive to be paying 23 million rand for nutrition a month? It might be competitive. But we need to be satisfied that it's competitive. We just concerned that we're paying 23 million rand for food. The final question to you, ma'am, before we move on to the next one. I don't know if you've answered us satisfactorily. The three inmates that were killed because the department officials were involved, are those officials still in the employ of the state?
Yes, citizen. They're still in the employ of the state, but they are under suspension. The case was supposed to, as I was reporting, sit last week, and some of the witnesses were killed, but the case is still continuing.
You understand our difficulty. No, don't respond to that. You understand our difficulty. You do. We certainly can't be a department that is guilty. I'm not saying they're guilty, but we certainly can't be a department that has fingers pointed to us to be perpetrators of human rights abuses in the cell. We can't be. And we perturbed because we think the witnesses have now deceased or they've passed on. and it means the case could be dragged out much, much longer. Can we get a progress report, Ms. Ryan? Because that's a problem. So it's not just internally. But yeah, we can't have a situation where our inmates, where our officials have been fingers pointed to them. We took much longer because you were the starting, but it would be much more to stay with the rest, because I'm sure you've answered many questions. Can we go to the Western Cape, please, sir? And questions that have not been responded, you'll find time later on. You've got 15 minutes, and we'll tell you in your 15 minutes up if you exceed seconds.
Thank you, Jim. I don't know whether the presentation will be showed, otherwise I can just refer to the page number. Chair, to comply with your instruction of 15 minutes, I will really try to peruse quickly. I will just want to go to the third slide, just to also give the organigram there, and just to mention that on senior level there are two vacancies. The one is Deputy Regional Commissioner. The Chair will recall when they visited the region, we informed them that Ms. Machibela resigned during August. And then there's also a director's post at Horsemore Admission Centre that is vacant. The other senior positions are all filled. Chair, slide four, it's the composition of the region. Just to highlight and say again that we have 10 management areas, 43 correctional centres, 3 female centres. Just to mention that if Van Rensdorp is finished, there will be a fourth one, which will be then make the female centres 4. Youth centres 5, maximum centres 3, social reintegration offices 26, and we will deal with the other on the later slide. The Chair, slide 5, just to confirm that on the 1st of July, the finance-based positions in the Western Cape, 8,241, filled on that date, 7,569, and the vacant position, 672. You'll see the vacancy rate overall is 8.1, and just on the disciplinary probation group, 7, and on the professional, 20%. Chair, the next slide, slide 6, does give indication of the offender population in the region. Just to a few remarks there, Chair, is the issue of the overall is 148%, that is of those available there. And of the 28,000 in the region, 8,900 or 31% are unsentenced or awaiting trial, and then 19,000 are sentenced. Chair, a question that normally has been asked is the illegal immigrants, 39, and safe to say that we are admitting illegal immigrants in terms of government gazette, which was issued on January 2005, that gives the mandate to Home Affairs to refer the offenders to correctional services. Chair, in terms of the population, just to mention, there are 5 centres that are above the 200%. And that is George, Nysna, Caledon, Malmesbury, Medium B, and Oaks were in enforcement admission, of which the portfolio committee visited the last two to see for themselves the situation. Chair, in terms of slide 7, just to say that it's up until the end of July, the financial expenditure, and it's supposed to be 33.3, the ideal percentage if you work on a monthly average of 8.3. But RC Eastern Cape also mentioned there are basically 3 main reasons for the over expenditure. It's the once-off payment of 7,500, and also then the overtime which was still paid April, May, and June this year, and then also the off. Offender rations that cause also overpayment. Chair, let me skip. I'll go to slide 9. Chair, just to refer to the escape, it is indicated one day for the quarter, but also if we add up on the request of yesterday, it remains one for 2009-10. In other words, up until now, it's one escape. And in terms of unnatural death, it's one for the period ending
30 June, but in the meantime there's another one which occurs on the 26th of August, so there's two in the region. I can maybe just immediately highlight that both of them committed suicide, and using the linen to make ropes to hang themselves at the cell door. That is just in brief. In terms of, sir, I will just go into the assault. The question is for the previous RP, under-reporting or over-reporting, you'll see there that for the term, it is 328 for the Western Cape. In comparison with previous years, you'll see there's a decline. Maybe one can elaborate a little bit more at the later slide on the assault. Chair, on slide 10, just to highlight there that I think one of the challenges is in the Western Cape specifically is gangs, and there are currently a process where head office is finalizing the national gang strategy, but also in the region we have compiled a manual that just highlights the detail of gangs to give the history of the number gangs, rank and the roles, times and the language of gangs, and also for the officials what to look out, as well as how to limit gang activities. Chair, just in short to say that the gangs that we have in the Western Cape are not similar to other regions, so you have also that dynamic that you have specific gangs in specific regions, so you won't have one approach to address gangs all over. Chair, I will pause there for now. In terms of slide 11, just to highlight, Chair, that there's also, to manage overcrowding, there's certain interventions where there is major successes. As the RC Eastern Cape was saying, that we are benefiting also from a question posed to her, maybe just to go directly in terms of the numbers of successes. For April, in the region, we referred 815 cases to court, of which 578 were successful. May, 774 referred, successful, 502. June, referred 739, successful, 512. July, referred 771, successful, 482. So here one can roughly see that it is about 50% to 60% success rate on the referral cases. Chair, one of the areas where we are struggling in this regard to highlight the challenge is monitorable addresses for awaiting drug detainees, because if we cannot monitor the people at home, there's no way that the court will change, you know, them from incarceration to be at home for us to monitor them. Chair, I will pass the next slide because I'm seeing the 15 minutes are ticking. Chair, let me go to slide 14 quickly. Just to mention about the information on the slide saying Portsmouth female is the only one in the region. It's not correct. It's the only one in the western part. In the southern Cape, we have also Oatsworth, where we have mothers with babies. Just that correction, Chair, just to put it, and the babies on the 24th of August at the southern Cape Oatsworth were fine. Chair, on slide 15, let me just update that one. The information provided refers to the previous year, but we realized that the comparison with the current were not on that slide. Just to summarize here and say that the number of cases being seen by the parole board in the Western Cape for the first quarter of 2009-10 is 5,385, and decisions, that means releases, 1,524, of which 70 is day parole and 9 conversions of sentence referred to the courts. Chair, slide 16, just focus on the challenges. Based on the request yesterday, Chair, I also just want to update the information of the medical releases for 2009-10 up to date.
It must be 7, of which 5 were approved, and of those 5, unfortunately 2 already passed on, and the 2 not approved chair is also maybe as a challenge to say that both of them are XDR. In other words, you cannot release them. The only way that you can place them at Brooklyn Chest Clinic, and the first one, which was disapproved, unfortunately passed on in the meantime on the 16th of August. He was the number 70 on the waiting list in Brooklyn Chest. In other words, there's also a queue of other people and offenders that need to go to Brooklyn Chest. The other one shares the same reason, but still alive. Here I'm going to skip just statistical information and jump to slide 20. The question in terms of production workshops. The capacity for offenders is 140 on the slide there. Currently the percentage working there of offenders, 63%. And Chair, just to highlight that one of the areas where we are experiencing a challenge is at Portsmouth because of the 2 remand detention centers, we had to remove some of the sentenced people from admission centers to medium B. That means that people with further charges are taking up the space, so we have less offenders that do qualify to work in the workshops at Portsmouth. But I can assure Chair that that is one of the areas which is also part of our operational plan to increase the number of offenders working in workshops. Chair, just also on the question about self-sufficiency, you will see we have a couple of agricultural land. We have bigger farms. I think the biggest one you'll see is Voorberg, 2,500 hectares. And then the second biggest is in Overberg. That is near Caledon, also known as Elderstroom. And the third one, there will be Bramsland, also the outside region. Chair, I'm going also just to mention that part of the challenge that's also covered by Eastern Cape is the shortage of artisans, although I need to mention that before the total moratorium, it was possible to appoint 12 artisans during the last couple of months. There's slide 21. Time is running, but just to see what is the self-sufficiency level in the Western Cape. It's quite high, Chair. Also, just safe to mention that we are also providing 2,000 kilogram pork to my neighbor, the Eastern Cape, every month. Chair, then I will jump to slide 24. In terms of equity share, it's also part as a challenge. I'm just providing here a comparison for the last 5 years because I think the dynamic and the history of the Western Cape is well known. Just to highlight that in terms of the first category there, African males, females, 2004, we had 1,344. Since the latest appointment, we are now on 2,800. That means males, roughly 1,000 more appointed, and females, 500 appointed. In terms of the next category, colored males and females, here you will see that there's an increase over the past 5 years of 100 males, females also roughly about 100. White males, you'll see it's down from 1,500 to 1,200, roughly 300 down. Females from 500 down to 200, roughly 330 down. And another challenge for us is to attract Indian males and females. You'll see the slight increase of 9 and 4 females. Chair, in terms of the litigation for the period 1 April to 31st July on the next slide, 26, you will see informal, that means it's arbitration. Litigation filed against the department in the Western Cape is 18, 5, 1, 12 are still pending, 1 settled. And then formal litigation, that means referred to the labor court, 14 hearings during this period, and they are all pending. Chair, slide 27, just to mention there that over the period May, April, May, June, the disciplinary cases finalized 404, that gives you roughly 100
plus a month. Suspension is 56, but that is all people over the 3 months, not necessarily the same person. You will see those exceeding 30 days are 25, but if there's more time here, one can explain in terms of the dismissals, because you have dismissal suspensions and dismissal suspensions, so that is all inclusive, all the numbers there. Let me quickly run through the challenges. I'm not going to go into many of the challenges, but I just want to focus on the last one, payment of treatment and AI medication, because I think this is one that is challenging. Just to explain here that currently we do have 1,032 HIV positive cases. Of those, 339 qualify for ARV. And then, in terms of the cost, because we need to pay for the medication, just as an example, the 339 inmates cost you 191 rand per case per month. Times 3 gives you almost 200,000 just for 339 cases. And then here in terms of TB cases, we do have 518 cases, of which 51 are classified as MDR. Again, just a comparison here. Here I'm not mentioning the 6 cases which are FDR, 3 of them are centers, which we are isolating at our centers. The other 3 are awaiting detainees who are in Brooklyn Chest Clinic, so we are responsible for the security, but they are there. The 467 TB cases, the cost per patient is 83.16 per day, after the month, times 3 gives you also 116,000. The 51 inmates who are qualifying for ARV, 1,043 rand per patient gives you almost 160,000. So if you combine this and you project for a year, it's 2 million just for medication, and we are paying the private tariff to the Department of Health. Chair, on the key deliverables, just mentioned the issue of the 3 centers that are currently under construction. I think when we discussed the previous slide, I deliberately left it behind, but just to mention the 3 centers again, Van Rensdorp, Warren Bokkeveld, that is next series, and then also the 1,000 bed space at Brantley, and the other one that I think Mr. Mateki also referred to, the Roetaki, this is Medium C, which was an old dilapidated center at Brantley, which we upgraded for 2,100 for own resources, 2.1 million for own resources, so there's an extra bed space of 520. Chair, in terms of the questions yesterday, I don't know whether that slide is available, but that is the extra handout. Chair, let me just go to the first page. Transfer and subsidy. Chair, just to mention that maybe the heading of transfer and subsidy the activities that are being captured under this activity is offender gratuity, basically vehicle licenses, and then leave gratuity. Now, the reason why these is here, Chair, the experts will explain to you that system and personal, in terms of leave gratuity, are not talking to each other. So it's been captured under this transfer and subsidy. And normally, on an annual basis, head office, by before closing groups, they will just correct the information. So, Chair, you'll see it's higher than expected, but I'm not going into detail there, Chair. Chair, in terms of the other question of yesterday, the contract and supply management, there's a slide here that it gives a lot of information, but that is on this. I think just safe to say that highlight 2 areas here that bigger than 5 million is being handled on national level, and between 500,000 and 5 million at the regional level by sub-adjudication committee, and then between 30,000 and 500,000 on management area level, and then purchases less than 30 on transportation. So in terms of the contract that is directly outsourced, it is Bosasa, payment up to date. For Paul's work, only Paul's work is 11 million
600,000 trafficking up and until for 4 months. Chair, the National Commissioner asked me just to say something about this. One can do a rough calculation in terms to see what is the cost. The offender population at Fallsworth vary, but it's on average 7,200. 7,200, if you do a calculation, you will find that on a daily basis, it boils down to just over 13 a rand per day per offender based on that calculation. Just to get a rough estimate. And in terms of the contract, that is not only the food, but also training component and also part of the maintenance of certain equipment. Chair, I'm not going to go to the detail because there's also this within the contract that they need to buy some of our vegetables and that we are producing. Chair, and then in terms of other contracts that we regard as a outsourcing, although not in the same sense, it's one contract for the cleaning of the regional office. And that is the value over the 2 years that has been allocated to this company, Proton Cleaning, which is also being on the principle of 80-20, you know, 80% on price and 20% on previously disadvantaged individuals, and that is 444,000 over the 2 year period. Here, the debt in the center, the next page there, from April till the end of August, I already indicated the unethical debts are two, which is the two suicidal, and then you'll see that the 15 of the 17 years, three are awaiting trial detainees, and then 14 is obviously the sentence offender. Here, this is roughly trying to stay within the 15 minutes. Chair, see there's 1 minute left. In terms of your question of capital assets, you will see that it is the expenditure in the Western Cape is just over 29%. I do have a whole list of items purchased under that activity, but you know, it's like equipment for the workshops, machinery for woodwork, metalwork, welders, edge bend machines, angle grinders, and. But here, why it is low is because part of the belt tightening exercise where we basically stop the purchasing of the other items due to the measures that we have put in place to have certain savings. Here, I will pause there for now. Thank you.
By IT, Mr. Madasa, followed by Palito, and then Nyanda, Fritz, Self. Everybody wants to speak. Okay, let's start at the end then and we come this way.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation.
Can we agree that it means just one question? Because last time you wanted a follow up and we never had time. One question, but you'll have another round so that you can have a follow up if you need to. Is that okay?
Thanks. As sponsor, there are 9 cities, but can the regional commissioner tell us that do these babies receive special treatment from the correctional center? How is their length of stay in the center related to their personal and social development? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Belanda.
You don't have any more. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
I beg your pardon. Your pardon. Sorry. Mdaka, do you have anything? I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. In Western Cape, there are what I've noticed is that the 87 gang incidences are quite high. What are the measures in place to prevent the gang incidences? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation, but my question is based on page 5, where the presenter was saying there was only 3 murders, suicide. but the Inkomo Sin, Mkariso, Mkabaniso, false murder is written here. Can you please elaborate on that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the regional commissioner could perhaps just comment for my purposes on the cluster involvement in the Western Cape. The cluster, and I think we skipped that far, but I think that far, I know the Western Cape is probably the most effective cluster involvement, and I see levels of 62F quite high. I think this is good. I mean, just because the addresses can't be verified. I would like to speak more to around that. And you already commented on the WhatsApp, so I won't. I just want to say 11,000 is an absolutely criminal. A million, 11 million, a false one is criminal. But just on the WhatsApp, the thing of the cluster, the whole, how they integrate with each other from case flow management is the strength of the chief.
Thank you, Chair. I note from the presentation that there are three women centres in the Western Cape, and a fourth one when Ravensdorp opens, if I understood the presentation correctly. Now, I just want to refer back to the Eastern Cape. What is it, why is it possible to have four women centres in the Western Cape and only one in the Eastern Cape? I mean, what's the reason? What makes it possible to have four in the Western Cape and only one in the Eastern Cape?
No, I'm saying nothing with that question. With regards to bigger services, just a question across the department, if the people are going to present, because we keep on talking about this death and the outcome of inquests. I would like to get a picture of the adequacy of legal services in the correctional services department across the country. What are the measures of adequacy? Because all these cases will hinge on that. If there's good preparation, if the department inside is well equipped, got good people, then there will be good preparation for the cases and the terms. The outcome is much higher than 60%. So it's like a comment across to the nature of legal services. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, slide number 21. Congratulations. I see that the services in the seven commodity categories here, they seem to be self-sufficient during the previous financial year in five of them, which begs the question, do you have any contracts with service providers for food? If so, how many, with whom, and what is the contract value? And why? And Chair, are there any other categories of food that you still have to buy in? If so, what is its total value? And whether you have any plans to become totally self-sufficient? Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
My Chairperson is on the estate. The presenter is talking about one estate that they have been experienced. My question is, I want to know that the estate was the sentence offender or unsentenced offender.
Thanks, Commissioner. If you could respond very quickly so that you can allow a second round. Thank you, Chair. See, the question of the baby special treatment. I think I can say that we are complying to the requirements for the babies. In terms of the food as well as the medication within the confinement obviously of the correctional center, length of stay is difficult because people are coming and going. Because, for example, I said on the 24th of August there were five babies at Oakland, but this morning there are seven. So people are coming and going. And it's not always the same babies that are there. But one can maybe do a calculation to establish, you know, what is the average stay of babies. But I can also say, Chair, to the committee that this is a special focus area
there's also a national drive to make sure that we're getting out the babies. But maybe I will not go into more detail for now. There, in terms of the question of gangs, the 867 that Mohammed Aka was referring to, there's various things that we are doing, not to repeat the manual to empower officials to have detail of the Western Cape gang, but also to say that, you know, when we admit offenders, we are addressing them in terms of the not to involve themselves in gangs. Also, during the appearance before the Cape Management Committee, that has also been raised, there's also on daily basis warnings against gang members, against offenders not to belong to gangs. But I think it's also important to note, Chair, that the number of gangs in correctional centers in the Western Cape are almost the same reflection of gangs in the community, which is not necessarily the situation in other places. So people are admitted already belonging to 26 or 27 or 28. So it's not the fact that they are coming in and they are not part of a gang. So our experience, the most of them are coming in as already fully fledged gang members. So also in terms of to prevent and to manage shares, is also to mention that where we identify problem makers, and they are in the maximum category, obviously, we transfer them to the maximum centers. We have also the arrangement to transfer them to other regions. For example, Coxpat, we do have the supermax there. We also transfer to the Free State Mangaung area. And eventually, I think it was also mentioned during Mr. Montesi's brief that we also intend to have in the region what we call a more safer place, like a supermax, where we can isolate our own gang members. Chair, in terms of the next question on page on slide 5, I don't know whether I understood the question correctly. I maybe need to be assisted, Chair, because it was referred to a murder at Portsmouth. So I... MDR. The reason for passing on is MDR, multi-drug resistance, in other words, TB in the next form. That can only be the assumption, but I can just verify the integrity of it. But the fault, I cannot explain that right now, but it must be probably, as being said by myself, but MDR, that is the reason, so it's not an allergy. That I can confirm. But I can come back to that part, Jen. Chairing just before this ask the member, is that a side?
I'm not accept what he's saying.
No, you don't have to accept it. Can you come back with a more comprehensive answer if it's not today at some point? What does that MDR cause mean? I think that's the question that is being raised by the member. You don't have to answer it now, but if you could give us an answer. Continue.
Chair, thank you. There's a question of the Honourable Mr. Fritz in terms of clusters. Slide 12. Yeah, I think Mr. Fritz is correct by saying that the Western Cape is very active in terms of the clusters. We do have a monthly meeting with the NEC, and this is happening over the past couple of years already. So, and the purpose of this meeting is basically for the MEC to have all the HODs of the different departments together to make sure that there's no blockages. And that we know there's already not problems that, you know, where there's no cooperation. Our next meeting is, for example, next week, Tuesday the 8th. So then we are at HOD report that day, and just to make sure that things are running. Chair, the joint is also, as indicated there, is chaired by my provincial commissioner, Petro, which is also very active. And I think, not to go into the detailed slides, you can see there, also the development committee, Chair, is also very active. We are meeting monthly. And if this other meetings are not having results, then the development committee will step in. One can raise, for example, example of if the portfolio committee is visiting Portsmouth and there's issues that are in, referring to other departments, we will take it there in detail, and we will have a special task team to respond to those questions to make sure that we are getting the cooperation and people on board. That's why here I haven't referred to the slide, but if you are going to one of the slides, you will see the word there, Harakuda. Harakuda is a company from the Department of Education who are rendering services to ACD. Now, you know, that type of involvement is also secured here, and I think the figures provided in terms of the successes with the releases in terms of the conversion is also an example that is very close to cooperation. There also maybe to mention in terms of the cooperation of children, if there was more time, one can say to the committee that during 2005, we had an average of 330 children in within class. That means children 14, 15, 16, and 17 years old. We have currently the lowest figure over all these years of 72. Now, you can only achieve that by proper interaction with all role players, because there's mechanisms in place where Portsmouth will interact on a Friday with the places of safety all day, but there will be every week communication. If there's one thing, and it's possible to transfer the child to that place of safety. And also, the act is also assisting, because all our juveniles or children who are awaiting trial, we don't admit them if they don't comply, you know, in terms of social work report and to reappear regularly in front of the magistrate. Here, this is also an issue that the MEC and the Premier are also focusing on in our first meeting, you know, in the meeting of the cluster, and there's really pressure, and one can see to the figures that there's really cooperation. Chair, I don't want to go into the others. I think if there's time, one can elaborate more. But then, in terms of the next question, Sarah, I tried to be brief. I maybe the members won't be satisfied. You also said to me I need to be quick. In terms of the three women centres, Chair, I think it will be difficult to compare Western Cape exactly with Eastern Cape. But safe to say that in terms of the peninsula, we have Portsmouth, where we have, you know, let's say that figures from almost just below 500 female offenders, and we are serving also all the courts here, so you will have to have a place here. In the West Coast area, the previous female center was at Malmesbury, but here you will agree that that place is so overcrowded, because before we have removed the females there, because the females were only about less than 20. They are taking space for about 80 offenders, and we removed them. That's why Van Rensdorp will serve the West Coast. In terms of the Boland area, it's been served by the female center at Worcester, and at Worcester is also our only female center where we accommodate maximum offenders. We do have also the workshop there, so they are in the area of roughly 300. So if you add up, you'll see that you will need rather meet a quite big female center of 1,000 plus in the Western Cape if you need to centralize it. So currently here, that is working for us. I know it's not the ideal situation, but in terms of operational requirements from our side as well as from the offenders, we are still managing the situation. In the Southern Cape, I omitted, it's obviously at Oudtshoorn, where we centralize the Southern Cape offenders at Oudtshoorn, and also 200 plus. So that is in short. I don't know what are the numbers from the space from the Eastern Cape. There's the question on legal services and on the inquest. I agree it's more a national question, but maybe to say from the Western Cape side that in terms of correctional services, disciplinary cases are not directly managed by legal services, but by employee relation practitioners, where we have people who are doing it from corporate services side, ER practitioners. So we do have a few legal people in the Western Cape, but they have been also assisted by the labor relations people. So in terms of labor relations, they are dealing with the disciplinary hearings, also certain of the arbitration, and only by then the legal people will come in and take the cases you know, when we are going to the labor court. So, but one is in agreement, the better your preparation, the better your results at the end of the day. I think that is quite correct observation. Here I will just jump to slide 21. There's a self-sufficiency. I think one can say we are rather fortunate to have the agricultural land and some of the farms. And the intention is to be as far as possible self-sufficiently. We can still improve on the current numbers. You will also see that the offenders per day in agriculture is supposed to be 1,096, but currently it's just over 70%. Again, here we also realize that the offenders are more and more aggressive, and the other side is also longer sentences. So those who do qualify to work in the field are also becoming lesser and less. But here we also, in the Western Cape, busy to revise our allocation criteria to see whether we can really increase the numbers. And I think if we are coming at the next quarter, I'm sure that it will be visible. Here the question was also dealing with whether we are purchasing other foodstuff for the offenders. Here, and what is the amount? So I don't have that full detail on exactly what are we purchasing. But it's safe to say that for the nine management areas, the perishable contract, that is referring to fish and bread, only those two commodities for the nine management areas, excluding our Portsmouth, because they are being dealt with by the SASA. The current contracts that run from 1 July up until 30 June 2010 is of the value of, so I'm doing the calculation here, almost 15 million. And that is not all inclusive. That is just for bread and fish. We provide red meat, and we have also red meat that we need to add to our current production, and that is almost 6 million. So just to give an idea that although we are providing a lot of vegetables, eggs, white meat like pork and chicken, we also producing red meat, but not enough for all the offenders. So maybe it will be appropriate to come back with a detail in terms of how many, with whom, why, and. Here I have the expenditure for the first 3 months, but that won't be sufficient to answer appropriately to the Member of Parliament. So I will rather propose that one is giving the detail, other purposes additional to what we do have. Here then, the question of the escape. The escape happened at Fustan, most sentence. The offender was sentenced to 8 years imprisonment, and he escaped via the kitchen. He's rearrested. Just want to go to that slide. He's rearrested. He's currently in a maximum sentence. We identified initially four officials who were negligent. They were suspended, and in the meantime, after the investigation was completed, they were back at work, but currently we are charging six officials who were negligent for this escape, and the next court appearance, disciplinary appearance in our hearing is
on the 9th of September. So, just to answer that question, that he was sentenced, he was in medium category. Chair, I hope I covered the question briefly. Thank you, Chair.
Last, anybody? Let the
thank you, Chair. Slide 20. I see that it consists of 7 big and 11 small farms, as well as 2 wood steel workshops and 5 textile factories. What is the percentage of trained offenders who, upon release, get absorbed by the job market for moral upliftment? And can the commissioner also tell us that what is the social reintegration, what is the response in a programmatic way of social reintegration? And the one of the basics, I want to follow up just saying that I would say with the next presentation, we would like to progress report, because it's not enough what the commissioner is saying about the basis related to the stay in, but I want to know what is even the National Commissioner can also respond to that. What is this correctional services doing in terms of those babies who are locked up with their mothers? Because there is no space for those children, really a social space for them to grow up in such a condition. Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Mundaka, do you have any follow-up?
Thank you, Chair President. I would like to know from the Commissioner, how do they manage the overcrowding in Western Cape, because I should think last month we have visited with him also, he was there, Paul Moen and other centers, yes. There is a huge overcrowding there. We saw a lot of offenders in one cell. Maybe it was supposed to have 10, I'm just making an example, 10 inmates, but it's 80. So what are your plans in reducing that big number or huge number? Thank you, sir.
Mommy?
Thank you, sir. Mine is in slide 28. The presentation, I don't know whether they didn't budget for this. Lack of access of ID cards. Maybe they over think of that. Can they tell us why they don't have identity cards for? I'm saying lack of access, identity card, access, ID card. Whether they didn't budget for it, I don't know. Maybe you need.
Thank you, Chair. The other question I want to ask is the question around illegal immigrants. I remember on our visit to Portsmouth the last time, we found people who were not, and I'm not talking about people who are offenders. Talking about a person who didn't have faith as illegal immigrants that we found in the South, very young people in the South. And the question I want to immediately ask, why do we not create a separate space for them? And secondly, on a follow-up visit to Home Affairs in Cape Town, I got the impression that if they have a problem with a person who is not answering enough, they just send him forward to become dumping ground. And I thought that was also addressed with this committee in our own city. But the question really about illegal immigrants being exposed to gangs, and specifically Cape Town gangs, Western Cape gangs, rape, and then the consequences of this. And that's the kind of question. Thank you, Jim.
Is it
thank you. I had asked everybody to comment on this issue of maintenance. I don't know if I missed, I didn't hear any comments whether the inspector public works. But the question I want to raise is follow up. On this food issue, I'm not sure I used to read because I'm new in this committee. I used to read about people complaining prisoners are treated much in a luxurious fashion.
in the presentation on food, I see that we have all kinds of meat. That does mean the prisoners eat all these things, fish, they eat all these things, pork, red meat, I think I wish they were eating. Just explain to me, what is the criteria for meat? Because you said yes, so there is no fish. I thought it was other meats, and why is it fish? So if you are having that is clear, because people ask me about these things, that people live nicer in prison than us.
Thank you, Chaperson. Chaperson, the presenter was mentioning the vetting of staff. I want to know how many officials were vetted. And also, Chaperson, in terms of the escape, it was answered where and why and where, but I wanted to emphasize the question in terms of the substandard of the members that were there, that the hearing is on the 9th September 2009. I will ask the department to come up with the full report in terms of that, because there are lots of cases of the members that are suspended, and we don't get those reports, what is happening after the case. And on the food, we've got a concern. As Chaperson has asked that how many times inmates must eat, and how much are they selling. I think the department also must come up with that report. That actually, how much one inmate must eat per day. And according to the Act 111, it's talking about the inmate that must eat 3 times a day. Does that happen to all the centers? For example, Chaperson, we're on the oversight last month at Cosmo. We find that there's a catering called Musasa that is cooking there, and the food was well done. But when we go to Mama's cell, we find that there's a complaint from the inmate that they are eating bones. That's why we want to know how much they must eat and what food they must eat, since that they must know how to assist in terms of the thing of by reason. Nutrition, yes, because really it's a problem if we don't fix this problem. We want to assist the department in terms of that, but if we are not clear, everything, we don't know how to assist in terms of this nutrition. Thank you. Thank you, Chaperson. Can you clarify further more about the transportation of the firearms to the head of the officer? I really don't understand.
Thanks. In way of direction, Commissioner, the issue around overcrowding, the issue around babies in prison, the issue around meals, how many meals per day, and what exactly is the menu. Can we just pass those, I'm afraid that, because that is going to cut across all over. Those are policy issues. Can we deal with those when we get to the end? You don't have to deal with those, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the first question on slide 20, in terms of the successes of social reintegration, Chair, that detail I don't unfortunately have it. I want to suggest that we can do a follow-up and provide that information. But also, Chair, just say that to the committee that the offenders who are being exposed to workshops are not necessarily working there the whole time. So you'll be exposed to that and you might
transferred to another center, which will have a different experience. But I think we can provide information on available statistics just to the committee, but maybe also in terms of, you know, to have a broader picture. I will suggest that because I don't have from my head the information concerning successive checks. The basis, I think the honourable member indicated that the requested progress report. Overcrowding, just to mention, Chair, that I know you said we need not to say anything, but the five places that I mentioned are those who are admitting awaiting trial detainees. In terms of the sentence offenders, we spread them even throughout the region, but you cannot spread the awaiting trials that need to appear in court in the peninsula to other places. And we can also not use the same center. We try to keep the ATDs in centers that are just dealing with ATDs. So that's why the five I mentioned, I think Baltimore, at this point in time, they are about 250% overcrowded. I think it's even worse than you were there in the beginning of August. So, Chair, that's difference between sentence and unsentence, but I think we will do, as you suggested, nationally, also on this. Chair, in terms of slide 28, the ID card, it's not that we haven't budgeted. The department is moving to a new ID card, and this is being handled on a national level. Now, currently, we are issuing temporary cards to officials, but we are realizing that it's one of the challenges. That's why it's been highlighted here on the risk area, because you need to have this temporary ID card with your ID book. But if you have an ID card that you can swipe, you know, to give all your details, it's easier, because at the big center, you cannot expect the official at the gate to know all the officials. So it's just to improve the system. So I think that the national office will be in a position to maybe provide progress, but that was just in the region identified area, and it's also on our risk plan. Chair, illegal immigrants. In terms of the Western Cape, we are incarcerating illegal immigrants in the peninsula as well as in the West Coast at Paulsmoor, at Mission Center. And for the Southern Cape at Prince Albert. There's arrangements with Home Affairs on a two-weekly basis, basically every second Friday, when they have a, can I put it this way, a bus full of illegal immigrants. They are taking them up to the north, starting at Portsmouth and then halfway pick up the others from the southern part of St. Albert. I note the concern of the honourable member about the exposure of the illegal immigrants and other ATDs, and one will take that up to see whether you can have another separation to have them out totally away from the others. I can confirm that at Prince Albert it was easy because we are using the old, call it a female section, we are using that for this illegal immigrant, so that is been taken care of. But in terms of false work, one can do further separation, and I think that point is well noted. Here, the next question in terms of maintenance. I think the honourable member asked the same question to Eastern Cape. I haven't provided a lot of detail in terms of the maintenance part, but in terms of maintenance in the Western Cape, I can really say that we have a very healthy relationship with the Department of Public Works. There was even yesterday a very long meeting where we are attending to do matters. There's also many centres that are under construction. I refer to the three that have been upgraded and rebuilt. The one at Relief West is also in this line, where it's almost completed. And day-to-day maintenance, we are also using our own resources. That means our own artisans and offenders to maintain some of the centres. But I think, Chair, during the visit at Portsmouth, you also seen at some of the centres, you have made structural problems at certain places where you can patch up, but you cannot really stop the place to go down. covered. Maybe just to say that we are working on a 12-day cycle. That means offenders are not receiving every day the same food. Within that 12-day cycle, the menu will be swapped around. Basically, also that offenders cannot predict tomorrow I'm going to get fish or I'm going to get this or that. But that is a process that we that is really working for us to have this changes on a daily basis. But I think if we are dealing nationally on a policy matter, we can also explain for the issue of the exactly what type of food, what grant, what is the nutritional value of each and every part of the food. I think that will be covered there. There's a request of the suspension vis-a-vis the case of Worcester for the escape. More than prepared care to provide a written report as and when the case has been finalized so that we can report back to the portfolio committee. There, I think the truth to complaints at Malmesbury vis-a-vis Portsmouth, just to say that the food that you have seen at Portsmouth is the preparation by the Posata contract, and the food and the complaint at Malmesbury is obviously by our own staff, but more than offenders that have seen the cooking process, and we are also dealing with that complaint of the bone chair that was raised also at the university at Malmesbury. Chair, the issue of vetting. Safe to say that we rely heavily on the NIH, National Intelligence Agency. Also as part of the cluster, I can also say that we have a very good relationship with NIA, and they are assisting also as far as possible, but one is also realizing that they have a lot of pressure in terms of vetting. The statistics in terms of those vetted is being centralized in head office, but what I can say from memory, the last figure of the Western Cape chair was, I have a figure, it may be not good to mention it, but the figure that I can recall is the figure of 120, but that is a rather oldest figure, but that is then people vetted on different levels, because you have the top security vetting, you have security vetting, and you have a confidential vetting, and then you have also the first vetting that is, what is the word now? Person disability check. So those that I'm referring to there is those that are back from here. So there's also, you know, this other way we are checking disability check of people that are not having the figures available. That can we also provide to the committee. Chair, the issue of the firearms, we had sent some firearms that was not used for a certain period back to the national office, and that was just one of the areas identified when we transported this firearms. We cannot just send them without a proper plan. So it was just to make sure that we identified that as a regional risk, and so that we as a region and also in management area to coordinate that trip with the firearms and also liaise with the security agencies so that we can make sure that they are not disappearing and the trip was successfully checked. There's the issue of overcrowding. One can also just mention the...
No, don't mention overcrowding. We deal with that collectively. But let me refer you to your... I think it's your additional slide that deals with the transfers and subsidies. Can you just explain offender gratuity? Very, very briefly, offender gratuity. You've got a total of 859,000 rand if you add all that up. What is this offender gratuity? And what is the period? Is it 5 months? So let's begin.
Thank you, Jim. Let me just find the date quickly.
But yes, offender gratuity, it is a very small amount that I can say roughly varies from 10 rand to 100 rand, different levels of gratuity. It's just to give those offenders who are working, for example, at the workshop, or in the agriculture, or that are busy doing some production for the department, a nominal amount. Just, it's not a payment, because you can never refer to 30 rand or 40 rand to payment. That is basically for that. Now, you will see a certain management area that's higher than the other, but also you can link it in to the activities that are happening at that place. If you are taking, for example, Drakenstein, where there's a lot of activities, you'll find that the gratuity is higher. But here I can also mention that I know that the National Office is busy to look into the principle of gratuity, because the questions that people will normally ask, what is the output and what are you providing to the offender? It's really just a very small amount. Maybe the colleague can also assist to ask if there's a need. Chair, let me just...
What period is that are we talking about this financial year? Just roughly. You don't have to get the exact.
Chair, the figures that I do have here, it seems to me up until July, if I understand it correctly. Yes.
Okay. No, that's fine. Jenny,
this is July.
Yeah, okay. That's not the issue. You know, I ask that question because if you do a rough calculation of what we have in the Western Cape and you annualize it, just that figure that we have now would be about 2 million rand for the Western Cape on gratuity. And then if you take that and you multiply that by the 9 provinces, you see we're talking about 18 million rand, 19 million rand. I'm saying if we use that as a figure, we're talking about 19 million rand for gratuity. By the time you come and respond to us on the Friday, you could explain to us if you budget for that. Because if you're going to give gratuities to inmates 19 million rand for the year, how do we fund it? That's the question that you don't have to answer now, but if you can think about it, and you just answer that. But Western Cape alone, it'll be about 2 million rand if we continue at this trend until the end of the financial year. And then how then do we fund that? If we could move on to our next, I don't know if you want to, no, we're not going to allow another question. Do we want a 3-minute break?
We don't have tea.
You've been at this for about 2 hours. Can we have a 5-minute break and we'll come back and deal with Free Station Hotel? Is that okay? 5-minute break, please, because we don't have tea, unfortunately.
Or 2 in advance.
And members hopefully have come here well prepared. So you don't have to give us the real detail about what is happening. We're interested in the highlights, we're interested in fixing up the challenges in the department, and then the engagement side of it. So let's kick off then with Mr. Modise.
Thanks, Chairperson and members of Parliament. The presentation of Prince John Cape is structured on page 2 with the organogram. We have 2 vacancies there, the regional head finance and supply chain management, as well as the regional head corrections, and the area commission of courts in the CEO, what Mr. Scott, who is transferred to the office. So actually, 3 SMA positions that are vacant. The process is underway to fill those 3 vacancies. We have specified the overview of the region. In short, Chairperson, the region is situated in Queensland, Northern Cape. We have 7 management areas: Groenveld, Kroonstad, Rustenburg, Kutamuch, which are in the Free State, and Kimberley, Kroonstad, and Upington in the Northern Cape. We have 43 correctional centers, of which 41 are for male offenders. We only have 1 female center, which is Kroonstad and EMC. But we do have female units at the 6 places are Upington and Kimberley. We have 1 youth center that is situated at home center. We have an approved lockup overcrowding at 124 Angas in the region is 115.18% against the actual of 17, with mostly medium age in the one that is mostly overpopulated, the result of our Shinkran detainees. Kimberley the same with 108% and Abidjan. The last bullet on that slide talks of the construction of the new center, which will accommodate 3,000. We are almost complete now, and we are preparing to take over the site at the end of the month. We make a comparison on slide number 6 of the case. 2007-2008, we had 10 offenders, which were category 1, and 2 offenders category 3. 2008 and 9, we had 6 offenders category 1 and 4 offenders category 2. For the current financial year, we have 3 offenders that have escaped, one at Bathi West, and offenders back home. All of these offenders were sentenced to less than 5 years and were doing work at our agricultural place. We just indicated that the correctional traditional parole structures are well established, and we only have one vacancy that is the chair section of Kudamun, a corporate fund which is underway to fill that position. We indicate the sentences that we have past financial year released 13 offenders on medical grounds, and this current financial year only one. Our food establishment financed 6,449. Still 5,801, and we have 648 positions that are vacant, which gives us a percentage of 10.5. The next slide says in terms of the breakdown of lockers is on the 4th August. Down at the end there, Jefferson also indicates that we do have babies at some of the facilities. At Kimberley, we have a boy and a girl there. Coincide, we have 6 boys and 2 girls. And at the R, we only have 2 also there, 1 boy and 1 girl. The budget programs for Twisted Knowledge Care is the past financial year. There's a comparison. You will find that the past financial year we had a revised budget allocation of 1.171. In this current financial year, we have slightly more than that, 1.175. And indicating at the bottom there of last year, we concluded the financial year with an over expenditure, a deviation of 8%. Whereas in this current financial year, we're running also in that direction. But as has been explained, we had situations which necessitated the over expenditure with regard to our expenditure to date. A breakdown on slide number 10 sentences of the allocation for the different programs. It is noteworthy to see that with regard to administration and security, the same as with the other regions, the over expenditure there, mostly because of the payment of the one-off and as well as the overtime. Effect thereof. We are standing now at 41%, as I've indicated, slightly above what we were supposed to have had. Jefferson, the following slide is with regard to compliance with employment equity. We have a huge challenge in Free State, specifically in the region, mostly in the Northern Cape part of our region, Jefferson. The appointment of African people, after appointment 2 months down the line, they want to go back to where they come from. And as a result, we do have that. It is a challenge for us to be able to overcome that. We have put measures in place to identify a core of officials, which we will then put in an advanced development program so that in the future we don't have them to be appointed people from other parts of the country. Just slide number 12, Jefferson, indicates to us the performance of the region with regard to compliance. We had serious problems at Coast Bay in Abidjan. most of the increments there as a result of those two management areas having been established the past 2 years and did not have capacity. But we have put in measures in place at the region to up performance at all of our centers. I must inform the committee that we have the regional task team as well as management task team that deal with the management of compliance of internal and external borders. The slide number 30 is just a breakdown on what are the critical areas and critical questions of what performance the region is at. The vacancy is at 10.05. The following bullet is with expenditure to ADI service providers. The total value of this that were received and awarded was 9.5 million. Of this amount, 7.8 million were awarded to historical disadvantaged individuals. Also, down the same page, you see the number of cleanliness handled within 30 days, 49 resolved within 30 days. We have received 359. And the chapters and the other grievances were then resolved outside of the city time frame. Officials found guilty of fraud, corruption, and serious maladministration. 5 cases of 16 have been finalized. And the chairperson litigation cases were won by DCS. So we had 12 cases, 9 in favor of the department and 3 against. Chairperson, the following slide is slide number 16 that talks to this case. Just to indicate where these cases have taken place and in what the circumstances. As I said, all three offenders of the case at the West King, and the investigations have been finalized, and we just about to finalize it. As all, Chairperson, we also are in the same boat as other regions. We have offenders assaulting one another, that's the performance there, offender on official and official on offender. We, however, must also indicate, Chairperson, that when an offender makes it known that he wants to lay a case of assault, it doesn't matter whether in our view, it is a case of not before the South African Police Service to decide. So all cases of assault are reported to the South African Police Service. Investigations will be done and concluded by them. And on the basis of that, it will then be decided as to whether this offender to have a case or not. A natural death, in the region we had one suicide, Shepherdson at Woodley Medium A. The offender there committed the suicide. And the investigation has been finalized. Chairperson, I think I should move to slide number 23, which indicates the success of the region with regards to engagement of the South African Police Services, Department of Justice, and the Prosecution Authority in a view to divert offenders away from prison. There is an indication as to, starting from the month of April, offenders with bail less than 1,000. These are the results. 472 in April, 444 in May, June 465 and July 65 of these offenders that have been diverted away. And APDs with bail referred to court for conversion to 62F, Chairperson, that's our success, and it goes down and up until the last step. Chairperson, we do have a challenge with regard to the implementation of unit management in the region, even though at all centers of excellence we are 100% on track. At the other centers, we still have a long way to go, but we are in the slide 27, Chairperson, deals with the offenders that are involved in developing in social work programs. infarcted programs, and also services that are rendered to special categories of offenders, which include shepherds in our young offenders, senior offenders, offenders with disabilities, and the elders. I must mention that shepherds in with regard to children and babies in our facilities, they are regarded as a special category, and shepherds and everything is being done to ensure that they are safe in prison. Much more accessible and in line with the department's policy. Comprehensive HIV/AIDS program on slide 28, Jefferson, that's the situation in the region, the many testing exercises that have been done, as well as the accreditation of four of our sites, Goodplain, Groenplain, Groenstad, and Kimberley, where we are providing to offenders ARC treatment. Chairperson, with regard to the challenges, with especially development of offenders and the care of them, we do have vacant positions. Few educators are applying to join the Department of Correctional Services. A lack of classrooms. Offenders decline in formal education, and no offender total to agriculture and production workshop projects, and impact on the scaling down, of course, on activities that then the original operational plan. Chairperson, with regard to the building program, I must also state that most of the facilities in the department, especially the ones that we inherited, are old and dilapidated. And what we then have done in the department, we have come up with a program of complete repair and renovation of all centers. This includes also the Free State and Northern Cape. In our program in the Free State and Northern Cape, one was the construction of the new Kimberley prison, which was a budget of 8.1 million. As I said, we are almost on the verge of taking over that facility. I'm definite that by the end of this month we'll do that. But we also have completed the building of correctional supervision and parole was at Goedemoed, Kimberley, and Groenplein. We have a program at Buckley West, which is costing 4.5 million, 32% complete, Coastex. The project is 40% complete and scheduled. With only resources, work that is done by our own offenders and officials, we have revamped the administration offices at Forestness, and we are almost completing the building of a Groenplein Maximum Center at Groenplein. The following slide also indicates that at Frenatec, electrical and mechanical revamp, Kronstadt, and Panama. The last bullet there talking about office accommodation centers, and unfortunately in the Free State Northern Cape we don't have enough offices at our places of work, so we have contracted to owners and we have released a number of offices. Slide 43, Chairperson, talk of the intergovernmental relations in the region, because we are situated in two provinces. We have the same structure. We have an important framework to both premiers, and we also belong to take part in all the different clusters in the two provinces. Key deliverables for Free State Northern Cape Chairperson, and this current financial year, the management of overcrowding and physical withdrawal detainees. We also say we are get up inspections, monitoring and evaluation and audits. We also like once the moratorium is uplifted to apply a handy to appoint professionals to reduce the vacancy among scale teams. As indicated, the completion and taking over of the new people correctional center and finalization of all our state disciplinary suspension cases in the region.
Chairperson, engagement from members. Before we do that, let's welcome our guests to the gallery. I'm not sure if they've been briefed. I would imagine that the leader or tour guide has explained to them that this is a, you have not, this is an engagement by Parliament with the Portfolio Committee of Correctional Services. The role of Parliament is to hold government accountable, so we are asking the correctional services officials what is it that they are doing or not doing in their various facilities or prisons, and they are expected to respond. You've got the officials on your left-hand side, and you've got members of Parliament on your right-hand side, and we're busy holding government accountable. So welcome, and I hope that you learn something before you leave here. But having done that, let's ask members if there are any questions. I recognize Mr. Self, who is number one. And then let's take Faliso as two, take Fritz as three, take Madasa as four, and take Mangwenya as five. Mr. Self.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. I'd like to really ask some questions around the new Kimberley prison, because, you know, we went up there in the course, I think, of 2007, and at that stage, they said it was going to be completed in 2008. I see, according to the slide that I have, the revised completion date was 2 days ago, but as you're not yet into it. Now, I both want to know when that definitely that facility is going to be finished, and secondly, what has caused the delays, and not only the delays, but the constant moving delays, so that, you know, the completion date kept being postponed and postponed and postponed. Secondly, Chair, just in terms of the agricultural production, I note that the production is somewhere between 20% and 42% of target. What are the reasons for that, and how can those production targets be increased so that we get to what we should be producing in those facilities? Thank you.
Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is such a scary report. I've got a concern with the slides, not mask. I don't know which slide it is, but I will say it's slide 24. But this is a very scary report. The social work services are rendered for special categories. I see the children is 316, 369. I would like the RC to specify for us which province has got how many children, and not such a vague. This is vague. Like it is reported here. The other thing is the increase linked to the emergence of the numbers gained in correctional centers. There has been an exponential increase in offender and in official assaults. Is the increase linked to the emergence of the numbers gained in correctional centers? Are officials sufficiently capacitated to restrain violent offenders? The third one, Chairperson, these vacancies for such two vast provinces, and there are vacancies. It's not enough to tell us that we are work in progress. It's not enough. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. Can we go to Mr. Pitt?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I was on the fact that Commissioner Matisse for the report. My interest is specifically around the 62F application again. And I almost cynically want to ask, I see the figures for April, May and June, very high figures, very beautiful figures. And then suddenly it seems that if the official dies, who is responsible, because there is drops down to 40. And I wonder, you know, and I really want to ask, did he die or something? That's basically my question, Mr. Matisse, around the sudden drop. Because I think even if there's no will to implement and to constantly keep this on, then you may have criminal procedure may be amended for that purpose. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Manapa.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question also relates to security in prison. I see that the incidents of assault are very rare. Now, a very strange region has been supplied in one of the slides, slides on unnatural death. It says one of the probable reasons for this problem is financial difficulties experienced lead to victimization by offenders. Financial difficulties experienced by the officials lead to victimization by offenders. I don't understand that. You can explain that the link between the two. If the officials have financial difficulties, what makes them vulnerable or susceptible to being beaten up by offenders? And then the other issue is there's a slide that makes mention of abscondus or abscondees. I don't understand who the abscondent from what, if you can explain that to me. And then on my third question, what measures are being taken to invest the rate of intentionalism?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, mine is on the escape. I want to know what measures are in place to prevent escape in the work. Because on the slide, I don't know how the slide, but it's slide number 6 talking about the escape. They're saying Moses Sikubu was escaped from the West team under the supervision, and he brings himself again to the very same day. But Chairperson, I'm worried about this escape in the work, that what measures are on place in terms of preventing this such escape from the work. And also, Chairperson, in the slide number 3 on finance and SMS, I'm not clear, Chairperson, I need a clarity in terms of the expenditure report on 31 August 2009, if they can explain this R000. I don't understand what is that. If I can get explanation. Yeah, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marita.
The new Kimberley facility shares an identity number of problems. One of the problems was the availability of materials. They struggled at some stage to have the material, especially steel material. Then, after that, then they had a number of stoppages as a result of rain. And at one point, they had also a strike on site. Now, those have been sorted out. What now is the problem, Chairperson, is the finalization of the cabling for IT, and as well as, Chairperson, the unit. Remember, we remember that the unit at the hospital didn't have toilet inside, so they had to then again go to the service provider and say, we need them that we put for our toilets and showers at the hospital section. So that unit now certainly is about to be completed, and once that work is done, then I think we'll take over. Most of the units and the cells themselves are complete, certainly. That's now the front part of the facility that needed to be financed. With regard to agriculture, we have indicated our performance with regard to the 3 months, starting from April up until the end of June, end of July. So, Chairperson, that is our performance. You see that with regard to fruitfields, we are well on course. At fruitfield, Chairperson, we've been having some problems there with regard to offender labor. Most of the offenders at fruitfield, medium A, are awaiting trial detainees, and the ones at medium B are serving long term sentences, and we can't utilize them in our work team. At Goedemoed, Chairperson, our performance there is up to standard. Coastal is actually not an area where we produce a lot of agricultural produce. It's only Chairperson at Richmond where they are thriving. But your Victoria West, your coastal itself, Chairperson, it does not lend itself to the produce of agriculture. So we do have that problem. The same applies to Kronstadt and Abington. Abington is largely semi-gated and we are unable to produce enough. But what we have done is to ensure that at the areas where we are able to produce more, like your Goedemoed and your Kronstadt, we are going to ensure that we achieve the maximum. Chairperson, yes, I have noted that the site has not been numbered, but something that we will correct and in future cities that all sites are numbered. The issue of children, Chairperson, as I indicated, in the Queensland and Northern Cape, we do have children, and children there, I'm referring to those that are below the age of 18. We do have children at Coldplay, we have children at Kimberley, and as well as children at Kronstadt. So that number of prisoners refers to those children. And most of the programs that are provided and rendered to these children are mostly educational and also how to deal with their behavior, conduct, anger included. Chairperson, the increase in assault, maybe with the next round I will be able to provide where these assaults are taking place, largely at Upington, where we do have a number of gangs there, and as well as Coulton Magma, a Magma facility where we also do have gangs. Most of the gangs in the region are transferred to these two centers. And you find that from time to time they engage in gang activity. Now, what happens is our official citizens have to intervene, and in that process, offenders then get assaulted. What we have done as a region is to ensure that when we have these gang uprisings, all the time the head of center is available or in deputy to ensure that no. Over utilization of force is done. We then make use of minimum force to separate the gangs and put all the offenders under control. I do have the understanding that the officials mostly that deal with these gang activities have undergone training, specific training to deal with crowd control, but also Chairperson, our EST teams are always assisting us to bring down the gang activity. With regard to the Section 62F, Chairperson, in the beginning we had huge numbers of offenders that were falling in those categories. But now what is happening is that we don't have offenders that are having now bail that are below 1,000. Most of them now is a bail that goes beyond 1,000 rand. And as a result of that, we see our success, Chairperson, is going to go down in that regard for that particular section. Chairperson, Chairperson, with regard to the financial difficulties, I think what we are saying here is that most of our officials are very much vulnerable as a result of them not being able to cope with their own financial difficulties. It then renders them easy to be victimized and taken advantage of by operators you are aware of. We had a number of incidents where, after we had conducted an investigation by ourselves and without asking police services, we found out that some money had been paid into officials' accounts. And we had then taken prints and measures and ensured that the officials then had been suspended and subsequently dismissed. The abconder session in the social reintegration program are those offenders who have been released either on parole or conditional supervision, who have not complied with their conditions, some of whom have left their places of residence and who are not traceable. As a result, we then call them absconders. We, however, do have exercises to apprehend those offenders together with the South African police service. Chairperson, the last question, what are the measures that were put in place to prevent this case? Chairperson, it is important to note that we have worked on the criteria for those offenders that can be utilized as work teams. Most of them are those that are serving less sentences, less than 5 years, but also who have been classified as minimum risk. We also have ensure that our officials do get training and are always vigilant. But because this is a kind of work that is very monotonous, Shepherds will find that through being not vigilant enough and not always being on your toes, some offenders do get to escape unseen, Shepherds. When we conduct investigations, you will find that the officials say that he thought that that offender would come back, the offender only asked to go to the toilet and so on. So that's why we are saying that most of these cases could have been prevented, but because of complacency and not being vigilant enough, then the offenders do get the opportunity to escape. The person, I think I have responded to the question, but it's the one that I missed.
That's right. I think Ms. Gwenya asked about the R000. All that it means, Mr. Gwenya, is that whatever figure you see is 1,000. So if you have one, then it means it's 1,000. That's a 3 zero to the end of whatever figure you have. Time is really against that. We will allow members for follow-up, but can we get input from the last 3 regions back-to-back, and then we'll ask questions? I mean, what? You want to do a follow-up before we allow the others? Okay, we'll do follow-up on this one, very briefly, time is against us, and then if Kauten, KZN, and Limpopo will prepare yourself, you'll give us yours back-to-back, we'll give you the same amount of time, and we'll engage. But let's allow for 2 or 3 follow-ups on this input from Mr. Self.
Thank you, Chair.
Before you continue, Mr. Gwenya, you want to follow up? Follow up. We really press for time, okay? Mr. Gwenya, you'll follow, Mr. Abraham, and Nyanda.
Thank you, Chair, for that explanation about Kimberley. I'd now like to know about the staff that is going to be used in that facility. Have those staff been appointed? If so, where are those staff at the moment? And if and when the facility is finished, how soon after its commissioning can we put the facility into operation?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with the last response in terms of a follow-up. Chairperson, it looks like there's a shortage of members that are working there at the working place. Because I don't believe that if the inmate says I want to go to the toilet, that inmate must have an escort, mustn't go just alone. Something needs to be done on that. And also, Chairperson, in terms of the unnatural death, there's this inmate, Solomon
Daba Seko, who sent himself in the test. The report is not clear if he's talking about that the finalization is no one could be blamed. Currently, somebody must be blamed. I want to know, Chairperson, that what is the report of Solomon in terms of the clusters every morning? Every morning he may have to ask questions. What is your complaint? And I want to know what was Solomon was complaining on his sentence before we get the report that said no one could be blamed. Something makes him to hang himself. I thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, food self-sufficiency, I have taken note of the responses. I only have this one suggestion. And that is that in all these areas, all the regions, I humbly request that the commissioners get in touch with the relevant agricultural departments in those regions and the extension offices in order to determine what type of activity is possible. I want to tell the commissioner that even in the desert, there are certain activities that are possible, and then to provide us with their possible plans for the future. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Still, this slide is not numbered, but the nine offenders reported rate 0% positive after a raid. I just want to find out who raped this offender.
Commissioner, very, very briefly, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Kimba, the new correctional center, the staff has been appointed and trained. They are currently working in Kimberley, Bucky West, Rochelle, to gain experience. And once we have then taken over the new facility, they will then be coming back to Kimberley. What we must finalize, Chairperson, is the appointment of the head of the center, as well as all of the other managers, assistant directors, and the senior correctional officials. Also, Chairperson, a process that is underway. We will be surely in 2 weeks' time finalizing those appointments. Chairperson, what we have in mind with the facilities management team in head office is before the end of the month of September, we will take over a unit at the new facility before it is officially handed over. To just go and work with the contractor and to the operations that need to be done so as to make sure that when our people go there and we are taken over in full, then everybody is familiar with the manner in which that facility operates. So we'll be doing that before, I think 2 weeks before, we take over that facility. With regards to the escape of offenders and the work team, Chairperson,